Good morning, church. Are you all excited to hear the word? Yes, every Sunday we come here and we go back empty? No. So there is something or the other that God speaks to us throughout the service, not just during the time of the sermon. From the beginning till the end, we are always being thrilled to hear from God and through any means He speaks to us. So let's bow down our heads and just ask God, allow the Spirit to speak unto us this morning. Father God, we want to thank You so much for this wonderful opportunity that You've given us to come together. Lord, we commit the time ahead into Your hand. Holy Spirit, You speak to us. May we be able to hear Your word and dwell among it. And Lord, apply it in our lives as well, whatever You are being speaking unto us, O Lord. In Jesus' most precious name, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. So for the past couple of months, all the preachers come here begin with this statement. So let me also go with the flow. What is the series that we are looking at? Sorry? Endurance, okay? Truth, okay? Forgiveness, okay? So what is the series that we are currently in? Truth. Are you really being truthful? Sometimes. So yes, so as we correctly said, the series that we have begun last week was on about truth. So how God has been truthful, how God has been, you know, God's word has been the truth is what we've been dwelled among the last week. As a continuation, this week, we are going to look more on this aspect of truth as an individual. How me as a person can be truthful in the aspect of what God is asking me to be. So to begin with, you know, like, let me give you this small story of. A few years ago, there was this multinational company which was looking for a position, so-called marketing director. So there have been a lot of advertisements have been published for this vacancy and many applications have been received. So after scrutinizing and going through all the processes, there has been three candidates who has been entered the final selection. So the three candidates are something like this. One was a mathematician, one was the statistician, and the other was a solicitor. Okay, so when they've been entering in, the first person came inside the interview hall. He was a mathematician and he'd been asked by the managing director and the board members were sitting. So that was a final round. He was expecting the questions to be so tough and things. So the question that came in front of him was, what is 2 plus 2? So what is 2 plus 2? Being a mathematician, he just thought, could it be a little... twist in this, all these things. He thought about all of that. And then he said the answer is 4. So the managing director looked at the board, smiled, and then he said like, okay, thank you, we will get back to you. So the interview is over. So then the second person is coming in, who is a statistician, okay? As he came in, he was also having the same expectation that, you know, there would be tricky questions coming up. So all these things with that mindset. Again, the same question is posted on front of him as well. What is 2 plus 2? Now he is a statistician. So he started thinking a lot and then he said it could be probably or surely a number that is between 3 and 5. Okay? So same like you all, the managing director also smiled at him and he said, we'll get back to you. Thank you for coming. Now the final person came inside. So when he came in, again he was also put up the same question. What is the 2 plus 2? Without even thinking a while, he put a question back to the managing director asking, what do you want it to be? And you know the rest. He was selected on the spot. Right? So basically, that is how the truth has been revolving around the worldly view. So you want me to say this and believe this? Yes, I will believe it and that's how I'm going forward on this. So that is the aspect of it. But what do you want? Today this question is there. What do you want the truth to be? What do we want the truth to be? Do we want it to be customized as per our comfort zone? Or do we want it to be what the truth is all about truth is? So basically, there are two models or like, you know, there are two aspects of understanding the truth. So it's like, you know, the truth that is defined by God. Truth that is defined by God. For everyone, it is objective and absolute. That meaning, it is the same for every person, on every occasion, on every nation. It doesn't change place to place or like, you know, location to location. No, it remains the same irrespective of the person, irrespective of the culture, irrespective of the timing. Whereas there is also something called the truth by individual, which is defined by individual, which is subjective and situational. So many a times we make ourselves a statement and we believe that it is a truth and we keep it into subjective. So for me, in a better way, I would say this, you know, many times there are some instructions and the restrictions at home for the children, right? For example, you cannot go out of the home after 10 p.m. So the curfew for you is 10 p.m. You can't leave the home after 10 p.m., which is a true specific to that particular home, but may not be the same for another person, right? Some other home may have it as 11 p.m., some other home may have it as 9 p.m. for that matter. Like, it is differing from person to person, subjective. It differs for some person in the home, for the person who is working late in the shifts, so he might be coming back late in the nights, right? So it differs from person to person. So there are a lot of things that is happening as subjective and situational based, and we say that is also as a truth. So, but this morning, we are going to talk on more and discuss on this aspect of truth, which is defined by God, and how the people of God have taken it, applied it in their life, and how as individual, we all also can see that I can apply it in my life. So any guess this picture, who this could be? Yes. Yes, Gladys has already said it is Mephibosheth, and the person on the other side, King David. Yeah. So this incident is being recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 9 verses 1 to 13. So let me read this. And David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. And they called him to David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Amel at Lo Debar." The king David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lo Debar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring in the produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so will your servant do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who lived in Ziba's house became Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate always at the king's table. Now he was lame in both his feet. So the story is like, you know, after David becoming a king, is this happening? So, you know, David, even before becoming a king, he was having a good friendship with Jonathan, that is son of Saul, who was a king prior to David, who was expected to be the next king. But God had a different plan, and God promised David to be the king. So during that point of time, Saul was, you know, going behind David, trying plots to kill David. At that point of time, Jonathan was helping out David. And there was a covenant and a promise made between David and Jonathan, saying that, "I promise to you that I will take care of your descendants, and I will ensure that nothing gets harmed to them." So this was a covenant made between David and Jonathan. But no one else knew other than these two, because when this was happening, it was happening in an outskirt place where no one else was there. But after a period of time, if you see, the incident where the covenant was made was written in 1 Samuel chapter 20, and now we've been reading in 2 Samuel. In between, if you see, there have been a lot of wars happening. Even after Saul died, there are a lot of people coming behind David to trying to kill him, and all the things are happening. So it's been a long journey, after where King David has taken the place of king, right? So at this point, even after coming all through this phase, still David remembered his promise, and he said that, can I do some favor to the family of Saul? Is there anyone who is left out who can be taken care as, because I have promised to Jonathan? So it's like, you know, it's very crucial to be truthful, to be a part of an authentic relationships, to develop an authentic relationship. So, you know, this is what the story was all about. But what does that story bring to us today, this morning? So what does it, how does this impacts me in my life to be an individual who has to remain truthful? So let's keep going on this aspect. Be truthful even when no one else will know. So, right? So, as this story said, like, no one else knew about the promise, what David had given to Jonathan and what has happened between those two. But looking at the incident that has happened, it was very difficult for being a person like David to forgive and accept the people from the family of Saul, because he has been brutally tried all the ways for him to be killed, right? So there are a lot of wars that have come against to David and his people. But still, he remembered what he has promised. So this is the same fashion perhaps today in our lives. Are we being able to be truthful in our workplace? As being student, are we being able to be truthful in our schools or colleges? How transparent are we in our places, in our daily lives where we are? We know that there are deadlines has not come yet in our workplace, or not especially for the time of assignment submissions. But still we go ahead and we say that I have completed 60%, I am around 70%, I will be completing it on the deadline, where we have not even actually started off or has just begun doing working on the assignments. We try to make the statements to make the other person on the other side believe that truly this person is speaking on something, but whereas we know for sure that is not what the true statement is. Because definitely nobody else is going to come and look at you, what is your progress till the time of deadline has arrived. So how am I behaving when anyone else doesn't know about it? What is the kind of statements that I make? What is the kind of attitude that I pose in front of peoples? Is what God wants us to be asking us, saying that you have to be truthful. You and I also have to be truthful even when no one else knew about it. Psalms 139 verses 7 to 12, it says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, the night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. Many times we have this thought that, you know, nobody is watching over me. But here is our God who is always being watching over us. Where can we go away from his presence? Anywhere we go, that's what Sam is saying, right? Like, anywhere I go, I could not flee from your presence, because everywhere, even up to the sky or to the depths of the water, still your presence is there. So I cannot flee from you, or I cannot hide myself from you. So that is how it is, like, when God is there. So what is my kind of a response in my life to the people in front of me? So am I saying the statements which is subjective, making the situation to be eased, making the people to be pleased? Am I making statements, or am I customizing my statements, and am I compromising on the values of what God is asking me to be? Anywhere and everywhere, God is expecting us to remain truthful. That is what his expectation is on among us. Be truthful, even when it is of no benefit to me. Many a times we try to be fruitful or, you know, to be truthful when there is something we get out of it, right? Like the incident which we looked at, the passage, the son of Jonathan, he is a man who couldn't even walk. Even he himself was asking that to David, what do you want from me, such a kind of a person? I can't even walk on my own. But why do you do all these things to me? So am I being truthful just for the sake of getting something in return from the other side? Or am I being truthful even if there is no benefit of me? Today in our homes, in our relationship with parents, spouse, children, grandchildren, in our job, or even in church, or the ministry, wherever we are we being truthful only because there is something I'm getting in return? Or when we know that there is nothing to give me anything in return, do I even pursue to that relationship? What is my response? Many a times we think or say that I've been so loyal to my parents, I've been so loyal to my spouse, I've been so loyal to my children, but they've always been betrayed me. So I don't want to be loyal. Is it because there is no benefit out of it, or is there no acknowledgement from the other side? I stop myself being truthful. Or is it the other way around? The other person is not being loyal to me, so why do I want to be loyal to the same? What is my response today, this morning, inside my home, in the place, wherever I am? So am I being truthful on a subjective, on a situational basis, or am I being truthful how God wanted us to be? So because it's a very crucial thing for us to, you know, think upon and act on those, all those things. Proverbs 10:9, it says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Maybe today we might feel that I'm being safe, I'm playing safe, I'm being good in the eyes of the people, but nevertheless there will be a day where our nature would be exposed, right? So I can't be playing a role hidden for longer duration. That's not what God is wanting us to be. God is not asking us to wear a mask in front of someone and behave something else when the people are not around. God is asking us to remain the same, to remain the truthful, even if there is nothing outcome for you, even if there is nothing that is benefiting you from that relationship or from that area of your work or anywhere for that reason. Be truthful even in the smallest. The third thing is that even in the smallest thing, God is expecting us to be truthful. No, John chapter 6 verses 8 to 9, it says, another of his disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? This incident, can you able to relate what is this incident is all about? Yeah, so Jesus trying to feed 5,000 people, right? They have been looking out for food where they were in a mountain where they couldn't find food for everyone. So they've been in search of everything, but they came across this one incident, one boy who was having 5 small barley loaves and 2 fishes, right? So thinking practically, do you feel that taking this to Jesus will really help, will make any sense? Because there are 5,000 men and more people are there, but I'm having only very, very minimal or a small quantity. Does this make even a sense? Practically, if we think from our point of view, we may feel that it doesn't make any sense. Leave it, ignore it, let's go further and search for more, or like try to figure out where there is larger quantity things are available. But here, the disciple, we see, whatever I got, I'll go to my master and I'll tell him, Jesus, this is what I got. This is what is we were able to found or get in this place where we are right now. So what to do about it? So what would be our response this morning if we are being in the place of this? In our lives even today, when there are things that is happening, when there are minimal things, like, you know, we compromise our values. Say for example, when we wanted to pay a tax, We say that, I'm just cutting down 2,500 rupees. As a whole nation, it is not going to affect. Even if I pay, that is not going to make any much difference. So let me go ahead and cheat on my tax. Anything and everything, wherever it is there in our lives, right? So how are we reflecting on it, responding to it? Are we compromising ourselves, saying it's okay, it's not a big deal, it's not such a huge amount you are cheating? You know, there was a student who has been always coming up topper in the class, who always score a good grade. But suddenly on one day, one fine day, when the next day was an exam, she was having a high fever and she couldn't keep herself steady and get revised all the things. So she thought that she will take a cheat next day for that exam. Because anyhow she has been scoring well all these times, but only this is the time. So let me take this cheat this time and get it done for this time. Next time I will do better on the further exams. So she took a cheat and she somehow scored marks as well. She didn't get caught. She did and she scored. But she had this thought of guilt in her the next time when she even studied and got the score. Like, you know, many a times a small compromising things of our lives will lead us into a big distractions, because it gets into our lives and it becomes a culture in our lives. We start off with the small things, but over a period of time, knowingly or unknowingly, eventually we get used to the other side and we get into that. Compromising ourselves, saying that, theek hai, ye toh chota hi hai. It's okay. Nobody knows about it. It's fine. Nobody's there in the signal. So let me cross over. It's night 11 o'clock, boss. Why do I have to stop? You know, we compromise ourselves, but eventually over a period of time, if we see, we would be crossing the signal even if it is 11 a.m. in the morning. Right? Because it becomes a habitual. So how are we responding? Even in the smallest thing in our lives, do we find ourselves to be truthful? How can we tell ourselves that are we honest? The self-examination is very crucial in determining if we are really being characterized as honesty person. Am I really being a truthful person? So I had to evaluate myself always and every time basis of the scripture of God and see that I'm being standing on the point of what the godly standard is set in front of me. You know, I have put up some questions here in front of us. Do I consider myself to be a truthful person? You know, we can think on this question. If this question you ask yourself and see that I'm asking myself as well, am I considering myself to be a truthful person? Do I tend to slightly alter the truth at times just to please people? You know, am I slightly just make the boss happy? I'm saying like, boss, we have sent out the email. We are expecting a reply back from them. Once we get the detail back, we will put all the fixes in place. So, you know, just even though we have not sent out, we are just, are we trying to compromise and put the things, slightly alter the things? Or do I feel sometimes threatened by the truth? Like, do we feel threatened? Like, if I say, what if I say the truth? How the other person would react? What is my situational response here? Do I feel threatened? Do I think it's acceptable to lie if I don't hurt anyone? As I said, I don't want to hurt anyone. So I'll just to, in sake of pleasing them, I'll tell a lie. What is my response? How do I feel when I don't tell the truth? Do we feel, does our spirit in conscious speaks to us? If not, then really it's a high time for us to think about it. Because it's getting into a habitual. Do we really feel? What is our point? On the other side, how I feel when someone else isn't telling me the truth? Right? Many a times we expect the other person to be truthful, right? So for example, in a church setup, we always expect our pastor and the leaders to be truthful to us. Correct? So we want them always to speak the truth to us. But what is our response to them? And what if we knew that the person on the other side is not telling the truth? How do I feel? Am I feel okay? Or am I like feeling judgmental? Or am I going into ignore the things? Or what is my response? Do I really want the people to be honest with me? In all these things, it all begins from us. Unless and until I don't be honest, I don't speak the truth, I don't behave a person of truth, a person of integrity, how can I expect the person on the other side to be honest? Right? So we will be always going on in a loop saying that I'm not being truthful. Probably the other person is also not being truthful. What if the other person is not truthful? Right? The question keeps running in our mind and it kills our happiness. It kills our peacefulness. Even though the person on the other side is being honest, but if I'm not being honest, I will not be able to accept the people on the other side as they what they say and what they speak. I want to be truthful in my life. So if I'm being truthful, is there any benefits? So or like, you know, as we said, like we be truthful even if there is no benefit, but there are a lot of benefits that comes into our lives that we being truthful. Being a Bible as a source of truth, we have a firm foundation for our lives, which has been the same for yesterday, today, and forever, the scripture of God, right? It's nature that we want to believe whatever suits us best, but that's not exactly what it is. What the word of God says is what is the truth, and it's our duty to follow and be a person of how truthful we have to be. Because everything in life, sometimes it is distorted, or even when we don't have it, or when we... It's absent in our life, we likely go astray from God. You know, many times, like when we are expecting something, the prayers, asking God to do something in our lives, when it is not happening, we stop attending midweek sales. We stop attending Sunday service. We stop responding to the calls of our leaders. We stop reading our Bibles. Right? Many times our actions revolve around what we are getting back from God. But the foundation of truth is that, you know, believe on the gospel. It helps us to live a life according to what God's will is. Whether I have received the things or I don't have received the things, but I would be able to move forward and see that I would be live a life which what God wanted me to be. So that will give me a guidance to do, what to do in any situation. When I'm being truthful and I'm being living in the line of what God wanted me to be, it will give me the directions. It will give me the wisdom to know exactly the best way, how should I go forward in this situation. It could be anything and anywhere, but when we being truthful, God will definitely give us a direction and guidance to go forward about it. And also, it gives us a strength to enable us. You know, when we are finding our strength in God, when we being truthful, He automatically gives us a strength that enables and encourages us to move forward and see that, you know, I would be able to achieve it. I would be able to go ahead it. And it would give us the courage and motivates us to go ahead of what God is asking us to be. When I rely on the truthfulness of what God is speaking to me, that is what will give me the motivation. That is what will give me the courage and move forward. And it will comfort me to assure that the Lord will handle the consequences. You know, I will not be looking at the people around. I will not be looking at the situation around. I will not be looking at the results. But rather, I will look on to God that He will take care of the consequences. But my part is to be truthful. I'll play my role. I'll be truthful and move forward. I'll do what exactly what God's will is. God will take care of the rest. I will handle the battle into the hand of God only when I live a life which is truth according to what God's word says. It gives us a faith and helps us to act on the truth right? So when I understand the gospel truly, when I believe that He is my Savior, He is there for me, it gives us that faith and confidence to act and do the truth. I don't be fearful of the situation, I don't be fearful of the people around, but I would be able to be strong enough to move forward and do things because I know my source is from God. And I'm relying completely on God, that way I would be able to move forward. So we have to start a lifestyle which would build truth into our lives. Our lifestyle has to be a fashion that every day of my life, I see that I am building my lives on the steps of truth and faith in God, that what He is talking to me. Understanding truth, the importance of truth is not just enough. What we are talking here is like, you know, the importance of truth, like how it has to be. But not just understanding would help us out, but rather we have to put and build it in our hearts and minds and act on it. Only then it would be really, you know, help us out. You know, when we wanted to do a gardening, we just go and plant a tree. Will that be enough for the plant to grow and bear fruits or flowers or whatever it is? No, right? We need to get into it. Like, we need to prune it, we need to cut it out, we need to nurture it, we need to water it, we need to see that it gets eventual sunlight and all the things that it needed. When it is in a small pot, when it grows up, we change the pot, all the things we do, right? That's when we would be able to see, okay, now the flower is so beautiful, right? So, but to reach to that point, there have been a lot of actions we did. Not just one day I brought a plant, I kept it in my balcony, after 15 days I'm expecting a flower. No. I have to live a lifestyle. I have to do things that would help me to build the truth in my life. So recognizing the truthfulness is a foundation principle for life. I have to know for sure that always my life is being built on top of what the truth is. And many times I agree that we might have failed. We might have faced some consequences which would have put us a little down in our energy. But we need to keep examining our past failures and also understand that dishonesty is never worth the consequences, right? So what are the consequences I face? But the next time I'm being dishonest, then there is no point. Like, but if I be honest, it is more than what the consequences would be. It would give me the peace in my mind and help me to move forward in the journey of my life. So I need to keep consistently examine myself and go ahead. Accepting the Bible as the ultimate guidebook to practicing the truth. Every week after week, as I said, right, like we've been a lot of series we've been looking on. We started a lot of series from past few months now. Every week there are learnings. Where are they going into in my life? What are the scriptures that I read? So do I memorize them? Do I speak on those verses? Do I live on those verses? Do they help me? I need to always evaluate myself with the standard of what God's word is, not just with the view of what the world has to. I always choose to speak the truth and carefully observe the results as well, right? I need to see consistently, am I speaking the truth? Am I really speaking the truth, or is there anywhere I'm getting deviated myself, or am I getting compromised myself in my life? What is it? Being honest about our failures and why we veer from the truth. Many times we might be failed, but be honest. Be open up. Be transparent. Do we speak to our mentors? Do we speak to our leader saying that I struggle in this area, I fail, I've been little drifted away, now I wanted to come back. So that should be our attitude on responding back to our failures and coming forward. Asking God to give us an ever-increasing desire for truthfulness. It's very difficult and tough, I agree. It's very easy probably to speak to others' life, but when we wanted to apply it in our own life, we find a lot of challenges, we find a lot of struggles. But in spite of all these things, I seek on a daily basis strength from God, which would help me and encourage me to move forward. We always have to remember this, that we need God's strength. When we want to walk in a life of truthfulness, it is not possible by our own. Because we can't walk. We all are fallen short of God's glory. Remember, we all are work in progress. We need the strength of God. Only through Him we would be able to fulfill the things and move forward. Only the strength comes from Him and Him alone. Do I look out to God, or do I look out to the people around me? Array, what do they think on me? What if I tell the truth? They may not be able to talk to me from tomorrow. They may take me out from the group. So, you know, a lot of times we look on the consequences and then stop ourselves and compromise ourselves into the things, which what God doesn't want us to be. He wants us to be truthful. He wants us to seek His help, His guidance, His strength, and move forward in our everyday life. Am I being a person who can be reliable? Who can be trustworthy at my workplace? In our church, in our ministries, everywhere, do people can trust me? Should be the question that always runs in our mind, which would help us to think, am I living a life of truthfulness? If someone has not been able to trust me, that means there is something wrong in me. I'm not being able to be truthful. I'm not being able to be that standard of being trustworthy, right? So I need to work on my life. That's what God is expecting us. He wants every individual of us to live a life which is of truthfulness. It's not that only selected people are supposed to live a life of truth and others can live the life of their own. No, God wants every one of us. He is loving us, each one of us, in the same way how He is loving every one of us, right? So there is no partiality. God is not a God of partial, whereas He is a God of love, whereas He is teaching everything the same, and He has set a standard, as we said in the beginning. It is same for every people, for every situation. So how am I responding back to it? You know, many times we join the group and we go with the flow. Right? There were four boys who were coming late to the college. And when they were running late to the lecture has already started. The teacher asked them, like, you know, why you guys were late? All together said, our car tire got flat, so we were late. Tire got punctured, so we were late. So then the teacher said, okay, fine, you guys have missed the exam, which was supposed to be there. No problem, I will give you another chance. Get into the class. She gave him a piece of paper to each of them and asked them to go to the four corners of the room. And she said, write the answer for this one question, I will give you full marks. Which tire of the car was punctured? Right? So many a times we go with the flow and we knowingly or unknowingly, because the other person has said, I also nodded the head. And I also have to face the consequences. What is there in my life? What is my response to the situation? How do I respond to things such like this? Right? So that is where it is coming into our picture, point of view, that, you know, how am I responding to all these things of truthfulness? Like, God is asking us, He has said many, there are, like, even last week when we touched on the aspect of Abraham, Joseph, right? So Abraham, God has spoken a promise to Abraham. It is definitely not possible. At the age of 90, he was promised at the age of 75, saying that I will give you a child. And then he was walking on with the promise, believing that God, what He said, He will happen. It will happen, it will come true. But eventually, over a period of time, even he has lost hope that it may not happen looking at the situational. But end, we saw that God fulfilled what He has promised. So the journey may not be the same for all of us today. It may have some ups, it may have some downs, it may go neutral there. There is no change. But even during all my journeys, am I being consistent with my connect to my God? Like, during the time of worship, when one of us have prayed that the life of Joseph was not the same. What the enemy meant to be evil, God turned it to be good. Right? The life of Joseph, where all his brothers have betrayed and sold him as a slave. But end, we saw that he has been in the high position and all the brothers have come back to him. And the promise or the vision what God has given to Joseph has fulfilled. Our situation, our surroundings, our circumstances may tell us that, no boss, this is not going to happen. What God has said will not happen. It cannot possible. It may not happen at all in your life. Go ahead. You do whatever you want to do. Leave the God. See, all these things have happened. Why you want to still follow Him? Job's wife said the same to him, right? What is my response today? Am I hearing such voice, or am I seeing like people like Abraham and Job saying that, why are you talking like a fool? When I receive goodness from God, am I not supposed to receive also the things which is not good? irrespective of the beneficiaries, irrespective of what I'm receiving from God, I should be able to live a life which is of standard set of truthfulness. What is my response today to the call of God? What are the areas in my life where I find myself struggling to live in a journey of truthfulness? Remember, God is talking to each of us this morning and asking this question. Will you be my child who can be truthful in all the situations? Will you be my child who can be truthful at all the situations of your life? What is our response to this call this morning? Jesus, when he was here, he has went through the days of 40 days of fasting. And when he has come back after 40 days of fasting, he was very weak. And he was also being tempted, right? Satan tempted him to abuse his power and turn the stones to bread so that his hunger can be satisfied instantly. In our lives, when such kind of a temptation comes, for an instant gratification, for an instant solution, for an instant satisfaction, am I compromising the values? Jesus withstood the temptation. Again he tempted him with a fame and acceptance, suggesting that the angels would catch if Jesus, he threw himself from a pinnacle of the temple. If someone says, I would be giving you promotions, I would be giving you appraisals, I would be giving you a better life, am I compromising for the fame and acceptance? Jesus refused. Finally, again, Satan promised Jesus the kingdom of power if Jesus only just bowed down to him. Jesus rejected Satan and commanded him, depart from me. What is my response this morning if someone tells me that I will keep you in a position which is higher in the whole city? You will have the authority over the entire nation. You will have the authority over the entire country. Am I responding to it? It may not be literally the authority over this whole nation, but even if, what if the authority over our everything, what we have, and you know, like all the things, like what is my response? Jesus said, depart from me. What is my response this morning? Even in the most vulnerable moments, Jesus have kept his integrity before his Father. From the Savior's example, we learn that the strength of truthfulness even often tested when we are at our weakest. The test may come to us not at our strengthened area, but there are areas of our weakness where we may get affected easily, where we may get tested easily. But by following his example, we can gain courage to be strong in also all the difficult times. Changing colors may benefit a cuttlefish, but changing behaviors to please others, changing behaviors to go through the situation, compromising our values just to get the things done, for fame, for promotion, for appraisal, or for any other reasons, does not really benefit us. Remember again, we are all work in progress. We have a strength that is in Christ. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's nowhere else we can find the truth unless and other than in Christ himself. Following Christ's example will lead us back to our Father in heaven. If we listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, that will help us to develop a true nature of being a person being truthful. Our beliefs, our thoughts, our actions will all be in harmony with our Savior, because he is the only one who would be able to save us. And if we walk in that path of truthfulness, on the day he would be able to say, well done, good and my faithful servant. You've been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Will I be able to receive these words hearing from God on my life on the day of judgment? What is it that is pulling me down this morning? Not being able to live a life as per the standard of what God has set in front of me. Can we all just bow down a minute and examine our lives and think through it? Am I just going through the flow? Or am I just standing firm for the standard which God has set in my life? Am I trying on my own to be the best? Or am I relying on God and seeking His guidance, seeking His strength, seeking His power? Where am I standing this morning? As we reflect upon our request, our pastor to come forward and lead us in the time of prayer.